How much faith do you have? How much faith do you have? Scripture says if you've got the faith as of a mustard seed, you could say to the mountain over there, said, "Mountain, rise up, move." And all of a sudden, that mountain would rise up and it would move. How much faith do you have? As of a grain of a mustard seed. So, isn't that amazing? Now, that's how much faith that it takes. And I can assure that many of you, in your heart's desire, I want you to kind of keep this in mind right here, because we're going to look at a story that Jesus told. In fact, you know, as we began last week thinking about stories, we started with a story, and in the book of Matthew in chapter 13, we told the story about last week how that a sower went out and he sowed some seeds, just like what you got right now. Isn't that a neat? And some of those seeds, as they were broadcast, some of them fell on hard ground, some of them fell on stony ground, and some of them the thorns came up and all of a sudden it just choked them out. But what happened? Some of those seeds fell on good ground. And when it fell on good ground, it multiplied, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So what we're looking at, what Jesus is beginning to tell you, something so important right here about this seed is going to represent a secret from the foundation of the world. What you've got right there is going to represent a secret. So I don't know how you're going to keep up with it. I just want you to have it, okay? Don't lose your secret. Okay, you can put it in a pocket. You can put it someplace else. It is now, though, a mustard seed. A mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, we begin looking at the parables. And inside of this parable, we see this secret that God wants you to know. And some of you might say, a secret? Well, I've already heard that before. That seed in your hand is not going to grow unless it gets in good soil. You've got to have good soil. And how can you prepare the soil? That's your responsibility. Maybe one way that you can prepare the soil is by doing this, by simply acts. How can you prepare the soul? Number one, adore God. You can adore God. How can you adore God? You can adore God by singing hymns. You can adore God by singing praise songs. You can adore God by listening to good music. You can adore God by reading His Word. You can adore God by talking to people that you love and encourage. You can adore God. In fact, in your prayer times, sometimes you can just adore God by reading God's Scripture. God, I lift this up. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is my refuge. He is my healer. He is my faith. You can adore God. Prepare the soil. You can do that by confession. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can prepare your soul by saying, God, I messed up here. God, I messed up there. God, I sinned. God, I didn't do. Hey, look, confess. God just wants you to be honest. He already knows, but He wants you to know that He knows. And sometimes when we tell Him with our lips, all of a sudden, it becomes real to us. Confession. And then thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Hey, God, thank you for that wonderful. We went to the ball game last night, my two grandkids. Thank you, God, for just allowing me to spend time with my grandkids. And you know, thank you, God, for the house that we have, for the food that we eat, for the friends that we have, for the church that we come together. Thank you, God, for the help that we have. Thank you, God. You're preparing the soul. And then supplication. Supplication means ask God. Ask God. There are people who say, ask God to bless Miss Betty. Ask God to bless these people who are in this card room. Ask God to meet your needs. Ask God to provide your food. Ask God to help you in your job. Ask God to give you a clear mind. Ask God. Hey, that's preparing the soil. And when we prepare the soil, remember that little seed that you got? Hey, sometimes it'll produce 30, sometimes 60. Sometimes that little seed, when it hits your prepared ground, it will flourish 100-fold. It'll just reach out there and just touch great things. But I want you to realize that with that little seed that you've got, there's external opposition. You know who they are, don't you? Remember Satan last week stealing that seed? Man, don't give him your seed. Suffering, all of a sudden you get persecuted for doing right, saying right, thinking right, acting right. And if you don't hold on to that seed, some people will say it's not worth it. And then they'll walk away. And then that little seed that you got in your hand, all of a sudden you recognize the cares of the world. Well, when I get this done, I'll pick the seed back up. Or what about the deceitfulness of riches? And all of a sudden, the money and the lust of money and those desires of the things that I can have is more important than the seed. Hey, that's what Satan does. He comes along. But then wait a minute. Remember the good soil? Three against one. That makes up four. But three against one? Hey, that one's stronger than they all. So all of a sudden, when Jesus began to tell us this story, he wants us to know to beware of the invaders that are coming your way. But now let's pick it up this morning in verse 24. In verse 24, Jesus is telling parables. Parables many times is a story with a heavenly meaning, and we're going to look at the treasures of harvest. We're going to talk about the wheat and the tares. Beginning with verse 24, Matthew 13. And another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, "An enemy has done this." The servant said to him, "Do you want us to go and gather them up?" But he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow unto the harvest. At the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, 'First, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm going to go ahead and give you the test before we... By the way, I'm going to give you the answers to the test. And why am I going to do that? Because before the foundation of the world was made, God said, "Give them the answers." Okay, and I'm going to give you the answers. But what does that mean to you right now? We're just told a story. What could that mean to your life? Don't have tares in the middle? Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it. All of a sudden, think about how this might apply. If you were to say, okay, the meaning of this is, and as Scott brought it down too, what we're looking at right here is the treasures, the harvest. Here's a secret. Here's a secret. God's love for His children refrains from removing evil unto the end of time. Have you ever been asked, why is there evil in the world? Why does God allow evil in the world? Why does He do all that? Why does He allow this? Here is the reason. Here's the secret. If God comes in and tears out all of the evil, what would happen to this world? If God went into Washington and took out all the evil, if God went into the financial system and took out all the evil, if you were flying an airplane going some, thank you, sir. Boy, I love that because that makes everybody want to drink water. See, remember that seed, you got to water it, okay? Oh, that is wonderful. What if you were flying in an airplane and all of a sudden God took out all the evil and your pilot was evil? I mean, can you see what would happen if God took out all of the evil at one time? What would happen to all the Christians? Many of the Christians would be uprooted and their lives would literally go into chaos. And I don't know that we'd be able to. Now, there is a day coming in which God is going to do this, but when Jesus Christ does that, then he's going to be sitting on the throne on earth during the millennium. But that's a different situation. So therefore, right now, there's an internal opposition that's going on. We have the opposition of Satan, but when you start doing something for the Lord God, what does Satan do? When you sow the good seed, what does he do? He goes right behind you. Throwing out those tares. Throwing out those tares. Imposters, that's what he's doing. And the more the word of God you sow, the more Satan comes along behind throwing in these tares. So what do you have? You've got an imposter. And an imposter is growth without substance. And what do you have? You have the satanic winner lookalike. And all of a sudden, here is a Christian and here is a satanic lookalike, and they're both look the same. What's the difference? The difference is when they start growing up. Oh, that's a tear. You don't know it at first. They start growing up the same. It takes time. So what do you have right here? In our first, you have invaders coming in our first story. In our second story, you've got imposters. But look at the third story in verse 21. Chapter 13, we're going to begin with verse 21. Excuse me, let me skip on down here. There we go. Let's pick it up down. Woo-hoo. Yeah. Let's go to the next one because we're going to be talking about some mustard seed in verse 31. Then, and another parable he spake unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air came and nestled in its branches. Now that's neat. Two things are going to happen right here. One you've seen before and one you've never seen. Number one, see the size of that seed? That is your potential. God looks at every one of us, and when it's planted in good soil, what's going to happen? It's going to grow. That's what God has instilled inside of you and the church. He wants the church to grow. Well, you've got that kind of potential, every one of you. But now here's what you haven't seen. Here's the secret. Secret, okay? When the tree grew, when the mustard seed grew, when it became so big that even the birds could light in, the birds were evil. And all of a sudden what happens is, here's the maturity of the plant, and evil birds try to come in and light and take a nest. And all of a sudden you have these imposers that come in. See, God wants us to mature. Let me give you a picture of this. Remember the early church? Man, they went through a lot. Peter and James and John and Paul. But the church was flourishing like crazy, man. In so much that it turned the world upside down. But wait a minute. All of a sudden, the church began to mature to a certain point. And then men started saying, imposters started coming in and start saying, look, we have the word of God. If you don't listen to us, we're going to anathema you. We're going to tell you, we're going to send your soul to hell. And men started buying the clerical positions for money. And men started saying, we're only the ones with the word of God. You can't read it. If you try to write the word of God in a language that people can understand, we'll kill you. That's the church history. The church grew so fast, it matured out. The imposters moved in. What's the implication right here? The implication is, use your potential. But as you're growing, you've got to beware, because there are those who want to impose their life, encroach in on the church, and they want to tear down, and they want to use the church as the place that they want to tear others down. Mustard seed. Mustard seed. Let's go to another one. In verse 33, the scripture says, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. Now that sounds pretty neat, doesn't it? Took leaven. But you know, what does leaven do? Y'all been doing some of this friendship bread? Y'all know what I'm talking about, friendship bread. Man, it's so neat. You put that little dough in there, little milk in there, and you put this yeast in there, and all of a sudden the next day that bag is full of hot air. Oh well, I mean, that yeast, it just keeps on going, and it goes all through that dough, and you do it again, and poof, it does it again. That yeast keeps going all the way through it until it's totally consumed that bread. And when it totally consumes that bread and it's grown, then you throw it in the oven and bake it. Did I get it pretty close to right, Gene? Okay, good. Okay. We watched it anyhow. It was fun to watch. But what about the leaven? The leaven. A little bit of leaven. You know what leaven does? Leaven corrupts. That's what it does. And it takes a little bit of leaven, a little bit of false doctrine, and it can go all the way through the whole. When men start saying you have to work your way to heaven, that's false doctrine. When men start saying Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, that's false doctrine. And it just takes a little bit until it multiplies and corrupts until it goes all the way through. So what have we got to do? We've got to protect ourselves. We got to understand there are those who would indoctrinate. Let me give you a specific illustration. Look in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Let's look that verse up. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Because I want you to see how that little bit of leaven does this. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. We're talking about into the church of Thyatira. And then all of a sudden, Jesus has good things to say, but then he comes down and says this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immoralities and eat things offered to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who have committed adultery with her into the great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your works. What happened? Whoever this person was given the name Jezebel, and the doctrine that she taught corrupted the church. It didn't take much, but it went through the whole. So what is Jesus telling us right here? We've got to be, the secret here is that God sees the nature of the true believer, but warns us about the effect of false doctrine. So indeed, we've got to watch out, because indeed, there is meal, the wheat. The wheat's good. Tares, there's no substance to them. But the meal is wheat, it's good, but then the leaven comes in, so we've got to be aware. Now in verses 34 and 35, we're going back to Matthew chapter 13, we're looking at the treasures from the foundation of the world, and inside of this, we'll pick it back up with verse 34 and 35. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. Without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. And somebody read this next phrase. Read the next part of it. Okay, I will. said the little red hen. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. You see, something that you may have said, well, man, we've known that, we've heard that, God said, Jesus said, this has been a secret from the foundation of the world, but now you know. Now you've experienced. Now this reality has come into your presence. And so now God says, I want you to understand this and believe this. Okay. All right, now we're shifting gears. We're going to look at the treasures of the harvest and how it's explained in verse 36. But before, do y'all remember the story? Y'all remember the story now? I mean, we're fixing to explain it. I told you I'd give you the answer. Y'all remember the story about a guy that went out and sowed some seed? It was good seed, right? Y'all remember that story? What happened? And somebody came back along behind him and did what? Sowed the tares. And all of a sudden the tares started growing up. And then he asked the question, hey, did you sow good seed? And he said, yeah, I sowed good. Enemy must have done this. You want us to tear it out now? No, because if you tear it out now, you'll uproot the good seed. But you're going to wait to the end. And then bundle up all the tares. And then we'll burn them and then put the rest in my barn. Okay, y'all got the story, right? Can you tell that story to somebody now? Okay, Scott, stand up and tell the story. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, you got the story. You know, we remember the story, but what does it mean? Here is the secret now from the foundation of the world. We're going to pick it up. Verse 36, then Jesus went to the sent the multitude away and went in the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares. Here he answered and said unto them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus. All right, that's the answer. Jesus now, he sows the good seed. Okay, we got it. And that's now the nature of the seed. When he sows good seed, what is it going to reap? A good crop. Because that's the nature of the seed. Jesus doesn't sow bad seed, folks. And if you're his seed, he sows good seed. But wait a minute. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Where does he sow the seeds? In the world. Who are the seeds? We are. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is sowing you in the world to bring forth a harvest. We're going to see that. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The tares? When y'all were growing up, did y'all raise corn? You know, a lot of times when you're raising corn, a little shoot comes up to the side of it. You know what we used to call that? Sucker, that's what we call it. So see, y'all have heard this word for a long time. You didn't know where it came from. And you just break that little sucker off, okay? All right? And so therefore you send it away. All right, now the seed, the tares are the sons of the devil. And it's even going to tell us who the sons of the devil are in just a minute. So therefore, here God sends out his seed, and right behind him, Satan comes along putting out his seed, which are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. Got it? Man, that makes it plain right there. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. So the devil sows the bad seed. The harvest is the end of time. And the reapers are who? The angels. Wow. Did you know this kind of gives us reference that when a person dies, it seems though as an angel escorts them into heaven. When a person dies without Christ, what happens? An angel of death will escort them to hell. And you can say, oh, come on now. I remember a preacher telling the story one time of his music director said he saw it happen. He went in to visit a man, and that man was dying. And that man began to say, "They're coming. They're coming after me. They're coming. It's hot. They're bringing chains. They're coming." And he says, "They've got me. They're pulling me down. They're pulling me down. They're pulling me down." And then the man was gone. You know, sometimes we say, "Whoa, where'd that come from?" I think what happened to that man is pictured right here. The angels will come at the end of time and will reap those who follow Christ and take them into the barn. The angels will be sent. Angels are messengers from God sent to do God's job. And the angels sent from God will bind those who are wicked and bound them up for the fire. Let's go on. Verse 40. "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age." What is going to happen to those who reject Christ? Bound up and burned. Listen, folks, hell's for real. Don't undercut this. Hell is for real. Hell is a place of fire. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place where people can remember, where they can feel, they can pray, and their prayer won't be answered, and they can see. Hell is for real. It is a place of torment. It is a place of fire. "So will it be at the end of the age." Verse 41. "The Son of Man," now that's Jesus, "will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness." Who are those who are going to be cast into the lake of fire? Those who take offense at Jesus Christ, and those who do iniquity, they will be gathered together. Those who rejected Christ, the Son of Man, and they will be bound up, and the Scripture says, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. Now, how real is this to us? There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What is that a sign of? What's that reality of? Pain. Kind of like this morning. I had gas in my stomach, and I wanted to sleep. But all of a sudden in my stomach, it just started throbbing and throbbing and throbbing. I had to get up out of bed and go to the easy chair to get some sleep. I did get some relief. So, but what I can tell you there, in hell there is no release. In hell there's just constant throb, weeping and gnashing of teeth, biting yourself. You know, in the old time movies when they fixing to cut, a guy gets bit with a snake and they put something in his teeth so he bites down on it. So that's the way it's going to be. Weeping, gnashing of teeth in pain. There will be wailing, gnashing of teeth. But now look at this, verse 43. "Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." What's going to happen to you? Boy, you're going to be a star. Isn't that neat? Isn't that neat? You thought Hollywood had stars. Man, they ain't seen nothing yet. The righteous are going to shine forever. The wicked will be punished to hell forever. But the righteous, oh, we are going to shine. Well, do you understand the story now? Does it make a lot more sense? By the way, this was hidden from the foundations of the world, and it was only revealed in the day of Jesus. The Old Testament, they couldn't understand. Do you understand now? The Bible says, "You who have ears to hear, let him hear." So you understand that now. Okay, now, after this, though, he changes gears real quick, and we're going to roll through these last parables in this chapter, because inside of this, we're going to begin to see how that God's value of man and man's survival, there's going to be, that was an external force, but now we've got an internal driving force from man's viewpoint. All of a sudden, let's pick it up in verse 44. And oh man, I got that going. Verse 44. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. A treasure. What does this mean? What could this mean? A hidden treasure. Here's the secret. The children of God are scattered throughout the world. God has His children. Now, the Jewish people are still God's children, okay? But they got to receive Him as their Lord and Savior. If they don't receive Him. But scattered throughout this world, you're going to find Christians. But scattered throughout this world, you're going to find seeds of promise. Scattered throughout this world. But wait a minute. What's it worth to you? Are you willing, if the discovery of Christ, is it worth everything? Would you sell out everything? Jesus did. Jesus said that the treasures are so valuable that I'll sell everything. And what did He do? He went on the cross and He gave it all. That's how valuable you are. That's what He's telling us right here in light of this. And then He goes to another parable. He says in verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A pearl of great price, in God's sight, you are so valuable. And today, you can rejoice. I bet the ladies like this one. Y'all like those pearls? You know why you like those pearls? That's the reason why men like them. Because men want to go out and buy them to make you women happy. But they don't wear pearls much anymore. Maybe they just hadn't found the right one. But this guy went looking, and he found it in the marketplace. If you seek to find Jesus, you'll find Him. And what will it be worth to you? Selling out everything. Look at another parable. Verse 47. And the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet, and was cast into the sea, and gathered some of every kind, which was full, and they drew to shore, and sat down, and gathered the good into the vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's that in the sea, in life, the world, mass humanity? There's all kind of people. And He's going to go in and He's going to bring the net. And the good fish, He'll keep. And the bad fish, He will destroy. What is the implication behind this? What are some of the, what is the secret? When the time is right, the people of the world will be bidden goodbye. This is kind of a hard one. But have you ever told somebody goodbye? Now think about this. This is a hard one, deep concept right here. Have you ever told somebody goodbye? Now, the only ones that you're going to tell goodbye is not those who are believers. For believers, it's what? See you later. But the mama that has a rebellious son who doesn't give his life to Christ, that mama says to that son on that dying bed, she says to him, "Goodbye, son. I will never see you again." For that child who looks to the parent and that parent never received Christ, that child will say to that parent on that bed, "Goodbye, Dad. I'll never see you again." Again, that's goodbye. And that's what He's telling us right here. that he will separate those, and those bad fish will be cast into the fire that will burn forever and ever. Now, let me ask you what Jesus said. Have you understood all these? Good. That's what Jesus said. Then said he to them, they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasures things new and old." All of a sudden, what do we see? What is the secret behind this? Discovered old and new treasures in the Word of God. As old as the foundation of the world, as new as a child speaking truth, as new as a mother applying the word to the child, as new as a Sunday school teacher telling a child about Jesus. It's as new as today, but it's as old as the foundation of the world. When you understand this, he challenged us. So what do we want you to know? We want you to know several things. One, the Word of God brings forth fruit. The Word of God is under the attack of the evil one. And you are valuable in God's sight. God fights for you and with you. God wants you to understand. He wants fruit in your life. What should we be able to feel? We should be able to sense that Jesus Christ gave it all and He died for us. And because He lives, we can live. But what are we to do? What are we to do? We're to get into the Word and allow the Word to get into us. We are to take that seed, that little seed, and say, "Look at the potential that God has made me." And then as I grow, remember, Satan's going to do his thing with the tares, but he can't touch this seed because this seed belongs to God. I belong to God, and I'm going to grow with all of the potential. I'm going to make my heart good soil. I'm going to bring forth fruit. I'm going to get that which is old and which is new, and God's going to be glorified. I'm going to allow Him. I am going to surrender my life to Him. I don't have to worry about the bad fish. I don't have to worry about the fires of hell. I don't have to worry about the death angel and his chains because my seed belongs to Jesus. And one day, I'm going to shine. I'm going to shine. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you today, Lord, help us to understand the potential that's found in the seed. But help us to also understand the warnings that come along with it. Jesus, one day we want to shine. But until that day, Lord, we want to live for you. And we want people's lives to be changed because Jesus changed us. And we want to tell others how they too can grow. Father, help us to see and understand, and Holy Spirit, apply these truths in our life so that we will walk closer to you and for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we'd like to give you an opportunity to plant that seed. If your soil is prepared, Jesus Christ will come into your life. He will save you. And He will plant that seed in good ground. And it will bring forth fruit. God's Word said it'll bring forth fruit. Some 60, some 30, some 100-fold. God's Word will never return void. That's His promise. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to plant the seed of faith in your heart today by saying, "Jesus, I accept you as my Savior"? Will you do that today? Others of you may be thinking, "Well, I don't know what to do." Begin with Acts and start praising Him. Others will say, "Well, wait a minute. Where's His potential?" find it, go looking for something old and something new. Study the Word. You will become alive. And you will find great truths. God loves you. You're valuable. Let's make decisions for Him right now as we stand together.